The soybeans, they're kind of the ones that have excited the market just a bit in the trade today. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. PJ Grondrad joins us now with Simple Hedge. Let's talk about, PJ, what you're seeing in these soybeans. Obviously, moving to the upside with a lot of good, strong influence in their trade today.
Oh, most definitely. It's always good to see an up 13 type data in the week and good momentum following kind of post Wednesday's action getting back up and defending really that 1160, 1175 type level. The July beans have been pretty combative there, which is good. Seeing some support. And as far as, you know, where does this go from here? I mean, you go back to when we broke the 12 handle. That's when we got the run to 1250, and those are, you know, hard, fast moves, right? And so getting back above 12 would be a real step in the right direction, and usually that's a quick 50 cents in recent memory would tell you is about 3-4 days before you get the rug pulled out again. And so you look at all those things, and you tell me, you know, soy meal's really kind of leading the charge and, you know, sitting probably longer than managed money has been, and that kind of goes across a lot of these commodity or ag sector things. But all that considered, I mean, exports have been good, but it's this consistent headline news. And, you know, is China going to come in and buy some? You know, what's that do? And where are we at? You know, actually, once we come into more speculation on, say, planted acres over the next 30 days, is all going to play into that. So I think, you know, you look at it from a risk standpoint and just seeing where we're at versus where we've been, you'd like to see that retracement back above 12, but know that that's a tough level to stay, you know, to get above. And if you do, you get the quick run. So be ready for the opportunity that could arise. And also knowing that 1180 has been a little bit of a magnet here for the last month or so.
You know, as you look at private exporters, I mean, we saw corn to an unknown destination, which automatically makes us think, oh, is it China? But then to hear Italy buying soybean cake and soybean meal. Now, there's a country we don't hear a lot of.
Most definitely. It makes you wonder some of that supply chain just disturbances, right? Not that they don't need it, but does something make more sense in that world today to buy it from the U.S. versus their typical buyers of it? So, or sellers, excuse me. So I guess you look at that, I think how much of that's getting replaced somewhere else? Are we exporting less to somewhere else? But anytime you get a new buyer in the market, such as Italy, it's going to get everyone excited because you don't know. It creates some unknowns in the market that there could be additional demand, which then leads to obviously less potential carry out. And so again, I go back to, you know, the markets get fidgety. So it's going to be today's exciting, but there's something else going to happen over the weekend, a cancellation from unknown that essentially ends up upsetting the market back the other way.
Let's talk about these weather models. I mean, there's a lot of folks banking on sun, soil to moisture over the next week as the forecast hints to that.
Yeah, and we could, I mean, obviously everywhere could use it in a bad way. So if God willing, we do get those rains. But if we don't, we really start to push in longer and longer here of how much drier can we take it, essentially, before what's that look like, and puts more emphasis on the potential rains coming, you know, late month or in May. It's definitely a problem, and it's one that every year it seems like we battle to some degree, and every year is a little bit, you know, potentially worse or a little bit better. But again, I go back to, and it could be one of those years where it doesn't rain, and so those years do exist, right? But is this a year that's setting up like it? And if you get the opportunity to go sell, you know, just for reference point, 5-10 these futures, throw out some number on a weather rally, are you in position to do it? Because, you know, the average corn area across the U.S. in drought as of this Tuesday was, 29%? And that's off, you know, from a previous week of 44%, but about on pace of where it was last year, about same percentage-wise. And so that's where I think your recency bias comes and says it's really bad, and I feel for those people, because it is. Like, not disputing it, but from a big picture, it doesn't appear to be percentage-wise worse than a year ago.
So quickly, as we look at the livestock side of the trade action, cash numbers, we kind of got a mixed tone going out there, and many folks hoping to continue to see that push for some higher cash.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's been a sprint there, and try to get them out, right? I mean, I think that's the big deal, is pushing the cash value, getting the feedlots ready to get them out, and the demand it's only going to get better. I know prices are higher, but you go to the store and it doesn't matter what you're buying, you feel like you're spending premium. And so getting beef, traditionally grilling beef, is more of a summer demand driver and more of a consumer leading that charge. Then you'd see that moving forward as well.
Do you see overall, it doesn't matter grains or livestock, is it going to be a lot more headline chasing over the next couple of weeks?
Of course, Susan. I mean, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Or, hopefully we get things more ironed out with Iran. But today, every other day, it's a ceasefire, no ceasefire. Managed money is sitting on some pretty big longs, and some of the longest they've been in years, going back to kind of 2023 type and pushing back around that Ukrainian war. So in the event they decide, or things calm down worldwide, I guess that's the question of how much money do they pull out? Because usually them coming into the growing season long is, traditionally you'll get some ebbs and flows. And so it does make a guy worry, or a person worry, that if weather were to straighten out in some areas, is there some length they want to shed? And where do you sit as, individual farmer, if and when that happens to more of a degree than what it already has, especially on the corn side of things?
All right. Joining us today as we get a breakdown to what we've seen in a Friday market trade, PJ Conrad. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Friday market wrap up on the American Ag Network.